Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Church and our Sunday school portion of our ministry. It's so good to be back in the pulpit again, God's pulpit, after two or three weeks where I was definitely under the weather. Thanks be to God for strengthening me. Again, if you haven't done this, you really don't know, but preaching, teaching from the Word of God is very draining, and you only know that when you have completed a lesson. So today, we want to take a look at the sovereign, holy Scriptures. The sovereign, holy Scriptures. Now, the word sovereign does not appear in the King James Version of the Bible, anywhere. Nonetheless, there are at least nine other translations and at least three Greek interlinear texts that I personally found that use this word sovereign as translated in 1 Timothy 6:15. Now, some of the more notable and reliable translations or versions that use the word sovereign are the Revised Standard Version, the New American Standard, and the English Standard Version. These are solid translations. 1 Timothy 6:15 basically reads this way in all these versions that I have just mentioned. And the text here we are speaking of is speaking of Christ's second coming, 1 Timothy 6:15. And this will be made manifest in his own time, Christ's second coming. The blessed and only sovereign, the blessed and only sovereign. Your King James used the word potentate. Nothing wrong with that, but I really prefer myself, as do these other translations, the word sovereign. And this will be made manifest, his second coming, in his own time, the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ Jesus will be revealed as the only sovereign, one of a kind among humanity, of all humanity, for all time and forever. Only Christ is sovereign. No other human being even approaches this level of sovereignty. The text we just read from goes on to say in the very next verse, 1 Timothy 6:16, speaking of Christ, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no human being has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Christ's sovereignty is seen in his immortality, as we've just read, his deathlessness. He has completely, absolutely, entirely defeated death to the degree that he lives forevermore, eternally. Hebrews 7:16 speaks of Christ and the absolute power of his endless life. Endless life. Once resurrected from the dead, this human being who is God, and I don't understand it, but I do believe it by the Spirit of God, this human being who died, was resurrected from the dead, has an endless life. Among humanity, folks, this is found only in Christ. In Christ alone, and is part of his sovereignty. Another consideration concerning Christ as the only sovereign, as we've just read from 1 Timothy 6:16, is he dwells in unapproachable light. And what are we talking about? Now, I take this light to reflect the absolute glory of Christ, the absolute glory of God, the brightness of his excellence. He and he alone has this. In and of yourself, apart from the enablement of God, it is impossible to see this glory. Indeed, this glory can only be seen by the mind's eye spiritually through the Spirit of Christ. Now, those verses went on to show Christ alone deserves the honor due this sovereignty, and the text ends with the essence of Christ as the sovereign one, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Everlasting power. Now, a very interesting thing about this word sovereign, it comes from a group of Greek words from which we get our English word dynamite. This word sovereign, speaking of the Christ, comes from a group of Greek words from which we get the word dynamite. And a study of these words, and I did that, reveals the sovereign one, Jesus Christ, exercises miraculous authority, miraculous power. Of course, the Holy Scriptures bear undeniable witness to the signs, to the miraculous signs done by Christ. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Note the word written. He did many other signs which are not written in this book. And we are referring to the Holy Scriptures when we say this book. But these are written, the written word of God. Why? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, the book of John goes on in chapter 21, actually closes with this. John says of himself, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things." Did you hear me? He wrote these things. These things are written. They are the Holy Scriptures. And we know that his testimony is true. How can people say that? They say it by the power of the Spirit of Christ. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books, these things written, that would be written. Amen. All of this truth that we've thus far heard concerning Christ is absolutely necessary to establish the sovereignty of the Holy Scripture. All these things I've given you are necessary to establishing the sovereignty of the Holy Scripture. Now, there's something I would like to achieve, something that I would like to have in my mind and in my heart from the Spirit of God, and that is a permanent acceptance of, a recognition of the fact that the Holy Scriptures are sovereign. And if we're going to believe that, we must believe in the sovereignty of Christ. In the sovereignty of Christ. The Scriptures are sovereign because Christ is sovereign. The Scriptures are all-powerful because Christ is all-powerful. And why? Why is this so? There are two primary reasons. First, the Holy Scriptures were given to humanity, are you a human being, by the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? The Holy Scriptures were given to you and I by the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the Scripture is Christ's word written down. That's what you're reading. That's what you're hearing when you deal with the Bible, the Holy Scripture. I want us to go to 2 Peter, and then we'll turn back and look at something he said in his first letter as well. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Please listen. If you need to take a break and pause and pray, do so. For we did not follow, says Peter, speaking of himself and the other apostles who wrote the Scriptures, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Find that in Matthew's gospel very clearly. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Did you hear that now? So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Folks, this prophetic word he speaks of here are the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the written Scriptures. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, you won't find it in the Scriptures, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You do not find that in the Holy Scriptures. There's no private interpretation coming from men. For prophecy never came by the will of man. Now that makes it clear. No argument. No prophecy. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men set apart by God, for God, to write down these holy scriptures, holy men of God spoke, moved by the Holy Spirit, carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were God-spirited, if you will. Now, looking back over to 1 Peter, verses 10 through 12, to complete our thought here, of this salvation. They speak of our salvation. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently, carefully, who prophesied of the grace to you, speaking to you and I now even, searching what or what manner of time, listen, please listen, the Spirit of Christ who was in them. The Old Testament prophets were indwelt by the Spirit of God to pen the Word of God. Who was in them was indicating when He, the Holy Spirit, testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Folks, you find that throughout the Scriptures. Throughout the Scriptures. What we just read there, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them, the Spirit in the written Word, folks. They were pinning what was given to them by the Spirit. The Spirit in the written Word. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Now, what we have in that text is the Spirit in the spoken Word from the Scripture. So we have the written Word and the spoken Word, which we see are both God-spirited. The preached Word, folks, if it's of God, is God-spirited, as we have just seen there in that text. Now, not only were the prophets directed by the Spirit of Christ to write the Scripture, but every Scripture, and I'm quoting from the Bible now in a little more literal translation, not only the prophets were directed by the Spirit of Christ to write the Scripture, but every Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God. Every Scripture, that's a little better than the versions that say all Scripture. Not only the Scriptures in its entirety, folks, but each and every Scripture is God-breathed, God-spirited, and profitable for instruction, for conviction, for correction, for training in righteousness. The Apostle Paul, led by the Spirit of Christ to write a large portion of the New Testament, is spoken of by the Apostle Peter in one of his two letters found in the Holy Scriptures. I want us to read from 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. And consider the long suffering, the patience of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul. Peter speaking of Paul in the Holy Scriptures, about the Holy Scriptures. As our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, the Holy Scriptures. As also in all his epistles, all his letters, and we think he had about 14, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Folks, when you read from the Apostle Paul, you are reading from the mind of God. You are reading from the holy, holy scripture. In one of those scriptures, Paul expressly testifies on how he received the gospel, which he preached and wrote of in the scriptures, as we've just seen those works of his were called. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. But I make known unto you, brethren, says Paul. It's going to let us know something here, something for our learning, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught, but through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, Christ spoke to Paul in the Spirit, in the Spirit of Christ. Now, this is further proof that the scriptures are the word of Christ. The scriptures are the word of Christ. Now, secondly, we've seen that the scriptures are indeed the word of Christ. Secondly, as the holy scriptures are Christ's word written by Christ's Spirit-led men, the scriptures are about Christ. And in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible ends with an extraordinary book finalizing the whole message found in the Scriptures, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book, this revelation, not only reveals Christ, but as with all Scripture, not only the revelation, folks, but all Scripture, it was given by Christ. Yes, there is a very real way that you and I can look at all the Bible as a revelation concerning Christ. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ is remarked about him here in Luke 24, 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Christ expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Folks, when we look at the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, written by God-spirited men, these are the words of Christ written about Christ. But, circle that but, capitalize it big, bold letters. But, without the Holy Spirit of Christ indwelling you, uniting you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the living, sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Scriptures in the end will only be foolishness to you. Without the Spirit of Christ indwelling you, in the end result will only be foolishness to you. The Holy Scriptures, my goodness, foolishness without the Spirit of Christ. Now, if you'd like to look into that a little further, go to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 14. And we'll see there again that those without the Spirit of Christ, the Scriptures are foolishness. Spiritual things are foolishness to them. Christ says this in John 6:63. And a more literal translation, which I love to do, John 6:63. It is the Spirit that makes alive. Now listen to this. This is very interesting when you look at these words flat out literally. It says then, the flesh does not profit. And then it's as if there's a bit of a pause. The flesh does not profit. And then you have the word nothing. Nothing. When it comes to the Spirit, folks, the flesh is nothing. The Word, says Christ, the words which I speak. Please listen to what I just said. Christ says, the words which I speak to you are spirit and is life. The written, and listen, this is the whole nine yards here, right at the center of what we're talking about today. The written Holy Scriptures must be spoken to you by the sovereign Spirit of Christ as you read or hear them. It is here that the Holy Scriptures take on the sovereignty of Christ in your life. When Christ speaks the written word of God to your heart and mind, it is there that they take on the sovereignty of Christ. The scriptures at that point become effectual for you. You didn't figure anything out, folks. It wasn't something you did. You're just a little better, a little smarter, a little wiser. No. The scriptures became effectual for you because of the Spirit of Christ speaking them to your heart and mind. Now that principle, that very principle, is seen in Psalm 85. The psalmist says, show us your mercy, Lord. The word Jehovah, even Jehovah Jesus. Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us. Give us your salvation. We can't reach it on our own. We need you to grant it, to give it. The psalmist goes on to hear that, to say this. Now listen, again, right at the heart of what we speak of. The psalmist says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. What God, Jehovah, even Jehovah Jesus, will speak. For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. Now, how does that occur? Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, speaks to his elect in the gospel. Again, this is a spiritual thing. This is not a mental thing per se. It's spiritual, empowered by God himself. We, as the people of God, hear the scriptures. We effectually hear the scriptures because Christ speaks them to us by his Spirit who is inside us. This is how it works, folks. You can't see that. You can't tell from where it comes or where it goes. It's the Spirit of God working. It's miraculous. Want to see a miracle today? See someone who's really saved. That's a miracle. The greatest miracle. When the sovereign Lord speaks to your heart, granting you spiritual life with himself, his written word becomes sovereign in your life. Now, for those who reject the Holy Scriptures and therefore reject Christ, can't separate them, Can't separate them. And therefore, reject Christ. I'll say this to you. Be forewarned. Be warned beforehand. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. And we're going to couple that with a verse from the New Testament, which puts folks outside of Christ in a very dire strait. For as the rain, from Isaiah, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower. That sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? And bread to the eater. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? So shall my word, says God, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. And folks, now we have a human being, the God-man, Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly what his mouth is like, but it's a glorified human body. When he speaks, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It will not return to me void, says the Lord Jesus, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper for which I sent it. God sends his word to condemn or to save. Did you hear that, folks? It's not all flowers and roses. His word will condemn or it will save. There is a New Testament text that illustrates that truth perfectly in regard to the gospel of Christ. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Please listen. This is the Holy Scripture. This is the word of Christ. This is the sovereign Lord speaking his sovereign word. Now, thanks to God, who always leads us, says the Apostle Paul as a preacher, in triumph in Christ, and through us makes manifest the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. My goodness, a fragrance of life and a fragrance of death, folks. To the one, the aroma of death unto death. And to the other, the aroma of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Who is competent for these things? Now listen what he says about that in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, competent of ourselves, to think anything as from ourselves. But our competency, our sufficiency is from God. The true men of God are spoken of there. If you hear a true man of God, oh my goodness, you must listen, because there is condemnation for those who do not. Who also made us, God made us sufficient as ministers, competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Folks, the word of God needs to be God-spirited for you, needs to be spoken to you by the Spirit of Christ. This is the sovereign, all-powerful, holy Scripture, where what we just read here in Corinthians, that is the sovereign, all-powerful, holy scripture that the sovereign Christ speaks life or death to human beings. And that life and death, folks, are eternal, never-ending. It's not some game where you can work it out in this lifetime on your own. You can get some kind of appeal on your own. Find somebody that's going to help you on your own. Straighten out, straighten up, and things are going to be all right. No, no. It's the Spirit of Christ who must speak to you the gospel of Christ and enable you to flee to Christ. The Holy Scripture carries with it the authority of its author, Jesus Christ. And that very author records through the Apostle Matthew the following words from Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Folks, he didn't say most of the authority, part of the authority. He said all authority is his. Jesus Christ, the God-man, is the sovereign of the universe. What we all need, everyone needs, is for the sovereign Lord Jesus to speak peace to us through the sovereign Holy Scriptures. And may I say this somewhat in prayer form, please speak to us, Lord Jesus Christ, through your Spirit and by your Word, so that the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Keep our hearts and minds united to Christ. Amen.